Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob, Lonzo, you be a part of the show. The renewal by Anderson of Carolina's fan phone is open at 844-FANFONE. That's 844-326-3663. You may text us this lovely Upstate Thursday morning at 71307. 71307. Start your text with Fan, F-A-N, and we'll read them on the air. Fan, F-A-N. We will read them on the air. Shoot me a tweet at the Rob Brown Show. Shoot Lonzo a tweet at Lonzo Onward, or tweet everybody in the station at the Fan Upstate. If you want to go at it in that direction, you're certainly welcome to do so. Love to have you on the program this morning. Got your water cooler cheat sheet coming up here in just a minute, but a couple of texts that have come out from the response to Max Chadwick's list of the top 10 head coaches in college football. Here's a couple of them. Texter said, Spartanburg Jay says, quote, Rob, if Ohio State fumbles day over losing to Michigan, not the college football playoff, not Natties, but Michigan, that's crazy. I mean, I understand it. Also, if the O-line is improved, Clemson is Clemson. See, and that was one of the discussions that came up during the break, is why Dabo at four? And I said, one of the arguments that could move him down the list is, has Dabo lost the touch as far as his ability to go find, recruit, and develop, you know, top-notch quarterbacks, top-caliber quarterbacks? That's what carried Dabo to being Dabo in the first place, his ability to go find the Deshaun Watson and the Taj Boyds, etc., and the Trevor Lawrences, and elevate them into being some of the best quarterbacks in the game. He's now 0-for-2 on the last two between DJ Uiagalelei and, so far, Cade Klubnik. Now, if Cade Klubnik comes out this year and he tears it up, Dabo Swinney, right back to the top of this list, especially if Clemson makes a run at, not wins, but makes a run at a natty, makes a run, goes undefeated or one loss and wins the ACC. He goes right back up towards the top of this list. But I think that's why he's down at number four. Kind of the opposite of Kyle Whittingham. Kyle Whittingham is where Kyle Whittingham is because Kyle Whittingham has found quarterbacks, has found Cam Rising, has found guys that have stepped in when he's been injured. And Utah has found more success than maybe they've ever found in their history as a program. That's why he is at number five. Mike Norvell is at six, largely because Mike Norvell is a portal wizard, Ari. And put together a stellar class that brought him a 13-0 conference championship last year and a deserved playoff spot that he was not awarded. at the end of the season. So I get the thought here, but I understand where this is coming from. Texas said, out of all active college football coaches, who has the national titles, those should be your top guys until someone else win one. And yeah, look, on this list, you have a national championship out of Kirby Smart. You have a national championship out of Dabo Sweeney. It's not an extensive list, but the list to me, if you're putting together a list like this,
okay,
the list
so that texter, so Mac Brown should be on there. When's the last time he won a national championship?
Exactly.
I mean, you can't do that.
The list to me is, if you had to bring in a coach right now to coach your team for one season, and you as the czar of college football have the right to take any coach off of any team and install them as the coach of your team for one season, which coach are you selecting? And if that is the case, Kirby Smart's got to be your answer, right? It is who's doing what right now today. And to me, part of the Ryan Day argument is there's a lot of fan noise around that program. And it is only over one team. It is only over Michigan. But there's a lot of fan noise around the program, and it's hard for me to say that a coach, if I go down this list of coaches right now, honestly, there's one guy that there's fan noise around his program, and it's Ryan Day. He's the only guy. You could maybe make the argument there's fan noise around Dabo, but the fan noise is not, oh, if Dabo doesn't do X, we fire him. It's Dabo's not running this program the way that I would run this program, and I got a problem with that. I haven't really, and I thought about this during the break. For all of the, oh, he's not using the portal, oh, he's not embracing NIL, he's not doing, I will say this. I can't recall a caller or a texter who has hit us with Dabo should be fired. I haven't heard that yet. I've heard a couple. We might have a conversation after the season's over, but I haven't heard anybody call for his job. I can't say that about Ryan Day.
Well, after this year, we'll see. By the way, Ryan Day in 5 years, 56-8 is his record.
Again, Rob Brown has been the one on this show defending the hell out of Ryan Day. Not a Buckeye guy. Not a horse chestnut guy. That's why Ryan Day is on this list and should be on this list. In fact, Rob Brown would have him on this list probably closer to 3 than 10 because of that record. But he's got 8 losses during his time at Ohio State. How many of those are to Michigan? 3 in a row, right? And that's the noise. That's not good enough for me. That's not a good reason for me. I can't go in that direction. So, Texter said, yeah, Ryan Day sucks, man. He took over Urban Meyer's team, and what has he done? So does Lane Kiffin. Terrible coaches, end quote.
Okay, I get the Ryan Day hate because it's probably a Clemson fan, and that's fine. But I agree with Lane Kiffin. What has Lane Kiffin done? I mean, he's entertaining.
He is entertaining, as
hell. And he's a good coach. Is he a great coach, though? He hasn't reached great coach yet.
I do think that Lane Kiffin is likely on this list because of a combination of success in the portal, or what appears to be, we'll find out this year, success in the portal, putting together a great portal class, and the fact that that is translated to a large chunk of people who have a say in this type of thing, ranking Ole Miss inside the top. Ole Miss, for the record, yesterday we were doing our best college football futures when I was in on the BetQL network. We were doing our best futures, and one of the futures I had was Alabama to make the playoffs this year. It's an even money bet. That's an even money. Bet a hundo, win a hundo for Alabama to make the playoffs. And then I was like, let me go look at some of the other teams. Like, let's see why they're even money when teams like Georgia are like -750 or whatever. Ole Miss has shorter odds to make the playoffs than Alabama does. Alabama's even money. Ole Miss is like -125. It's a shorter bet, which is unbelievable. And I think the compilation of that is probably why he's here. But we'll see. Spartanburg J says, Lonzo, yes, Day is top 5, but not having Dabo on the list is as crazy as Ohio State firing Ryan Day. I would agree with that.
Well, if I were making a list, I would definitely have recency bias, for sure. And Has Dabo been a great coach? Yeah, absolutely. They won a couple of national championships. But what have they done the last couple of years? That would factor into where he would be on the list for me.
I think, I don't have an argument against that. I don't have an issue with that at all. Hurricane Jeff says, good morning, gentlemen. Have a great day. Thank you, Jeff. Great to hear from you, buddy. Appreciate you checking in. Texas said only three active head coaches have a natty. Right.
Thank Kirby. You. Thank you, Clemson fan.
Kirby, Dabo, and Mac.
Yeah, we know.
And that's, I don't judge. This is just how I do it. I don't judge a coach's success in natties. I judge their success after they get one. Dabo had a run there where he was a dominant face. Him and Nick Saban were the dominant faces in college football because they would win a natty and then be right back in the conversation the next year. That's Kirby Smart. That's Kirby Smart. That's why I think he's that high on that list. Texas said, I know plenty of Clemson fans, none of them as passionate about Dabo as Lonzo is. Great job, guys. Well, thank you for the kind words. Texas said, Kiffin has done nothing except have middling teams. Brian Kelly, same. Dabo, he's only on there out of honorable mention to those who have been. This list is rat poison, and there are a whole bunch of lemmings loving it. See that right there? That's why we don't do a lot of lists on this program. Do they? Here's the thing, and I think the point's being proven right now. Lists generate wonderful sports talk radio conversation.
They do, and also,
I probably should do lists
because conversation about this list and the area we're in. Of course, we're going to get a bunch of Clemson fans commenting, and they should. But I think the realistic ones will look at the body of work the last couple of years and realize there's been a falling off. There absolutely is. Can they get back to where they were? There's a good possibility they could, but it all comes down to the quarterback. You can talk about the offensive line, but it comes down to the quarterback.
Yeah, well, again, I think that was true during the Clemson dynastic days. I think that is true of a lot of schools. This is one of the reasons that, respectfully, I'm not as high on Georgia as everybody else is. I don't think Carson Beck is a quarterback superstar. I think he's good, but I think he's a guy that you're going to have to build around and have carried a little bit. I'm not as high on Georgia. I think that team is going to be dominant at every position. I think they have an okay quarterback at the helm, and I think that there's a spot or two somewhere on that schedule, that Carson Beck ends up costing Georgia. I still think Georgia's going to the playoff because I think in the regular season and maybe the SEC championship, and that might be the spot that he cost them, I think Georgia's getting one loss, and I think if you have one loss in the SEC, you're going to the playoffs. I think they'll be in the playoffs. A Georgia bet to make the playoffs feels like a real good bet. But I'm not as high on Georgia as in an inevitable national champion as a lot of guys are because of the quarterback position. And I kind of think that you can look at Dabo Swinney as kind of the ultimate example of that. When the guy has had a nationally significant quarterback, Dabo Swinney's in the mix for a natty. When he hasn't, that is the last couple of years in a row, Clemson's not relevant. That is the conversation. And so that is one of I'm not as high on Georgia. I am high on Alabama. I will take a bet that they will make the playoff this year because I do believe that Jalen Milroe by the end of this year is going to do a very similar to what Jalen Hurts and what Bryce Young both did at Alabama. Going to have a breakout year when it matters the most. Going to step up and do big things when it matters the most. And if Jalen Milroe, who, by the way, I shouldn't have a breakout year. My guy is, what, the second shortest odds to win the Heisman Trophy? If Jalen Milroe has that kind of year, Alabama's going to be right there in the mix at the end of the year. Right there at the end of the year, right there on the list. Having that QB, though, all of these things we're talking about, they're all aspects of the head coach. They're all in the purview of the head coach. And if they are in the purview of the head coach, then their success or failure at those things is or is not a reason to put them higher or lower on said list. Hurricane Jeff said, where does Mario Cristobal fall on that list? Jeff, nowhere near the top 10, bud. All due respect to you and your Canes, nowhere near the top 10, and I'll tell you why. Two seasons ago, I watched your Hurricanes straight up quit on Mario Cristobal. Straight up quit on Mario Cristobal. And if you're a head coach that puts together a team that when the going gets tough, the tough get going into the offseason, yeah, I can't have you sniffing this list. So no, you're nowhere near it. That being said, we talked a minute ago about the concept of roster building being a large reason about why a coach would or would not be on this list, right? Kirby Smart is on this list, not just because of the success of the Georgia Bulldogs, not just because Georgia is a, not consensus, but majority viewed number one team coming into the season, but because Kirby Smart builds a roster that is considered that year after year after year. Mario Cristobal has built a hell of a roster at Miami, including transfer Cam Ward, who Cam Ward, by the way, in case you weren't paying attention, Cam Ward was voted the number one all-ACC player coming into this season. Cam Ward was voted the ACC's preseason player of the year. That dude's a stud. In fact, yesterday, I listed him on BetMGM Tonight, which I also did a hit on last night because I was a very busy boy. Cam Ward is also a Heisman bet for me. That's a Heisman bet for me. Because you're getting 15-1 odds, and Mario Cristobal has built a team in Miami that has not one, not two, not three, not four, but five all ACC player selections to start this year. Five all ACC player selections to start the year. If Mario Cristobal can't do something with this roster, time to move on. Time to make that call to Urban Meyer to get him to come down. That's only fitting, right? All right, let's do this. We went way late, but again, list generate conversation, baby. We got some more thoughts out there. Jacob has a thought about the Braves. We'll get to Shane has been relentlessly asking about the hiring of Mauricio Pochettino to the U.S. men's national team. We're going to talk about that coming up later on in the show. But when we come back, hey, late is better than not at all, right? Your water cooler cheat sheet's up next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Three, The Rob Brown Show on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. You have about 37 minutes left until you got to get to work. You got to clock in, lock in, get yourself ready to rock and roll and talk some sports around the office because we all know that's your priority. Why wouldn't it be, right? And if it is your priority, you're going to talk sports around the office today. You need to know what's going on. And if you need to know what's going on, well, ladies and gentlemen, you need this. It is the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports with your coworkers this morning. We got a haul. Let's dive right in. Item number one. We've been talking the last few days about the situation brewing in NASCAR. Austin Dillon wins the Cookout 400 this past Sunday evening, and part of the reason he did, well, he dumped Joey Logano heading into turn three of the final lap of the race. He spun Logano, and he had to slow up because Logano's car spun in front of him. When he did, Denny Hamlin went speeding underneath him to take the number one spot. So what happened? Stone Cold Steve Austin Dillon dove down and knocked Denny Hamlin into the wall. Austin 316 says, "I just spun your ass." Anyway, Austin Dillon ended up winning the race by dumping not one but two cars headed to the start-finish line for the win. Joey Logano said the win was chicken at the end of the day. Well, NASCAR said, we're going to do an investigation. We're going to go look at the audio. We're going to listen to the video. You know, that's how those two things work. Scratch that and reverse it, said the great Jim Wilder. Anyway, after the thorough investigation of the situation, they decided, Austin Dillon, you may keep your win. You may claim to be the winner of the Cookout 400 at Richmond, Virginia, this past weekend. But what you will not do is have the automatic playoff berth. That win will not be your ticket to the win and in playoff series for NASCAR's postseason. So Austin Dillon not only getting the playoff berth removed, but 25 points removed from his tally as well. Now that still moves him up in the playoff rankings, but it moves him up from 32 only to 31, meaning Austin Dillon in the number three car has now got work to do. Effectively, he's either got to finish very close to the top of each podium every single week for the final three races of the NASCAR regular season, or he's got to win a race or he will not be racing in NASCAR's postseason. Part of the reason that they decided to levy this punishment is because NASCAR listened to the spotter audio late in that race, and his spotter, Brandon Benesch, was suspended three races. Why? Because when Logano was getting up behind the rear bumper of Joey Logano, Benesch said into the microphone, quote, "wreck him," end quote. And then Austin Dillon wrecked him. So they said, you know what? That's too egregious. And remember yesterday we were talking about this, and I'll come back to this later in the show, but I said, what? You can't really punish these guys because you've got to be able to prove intent. You've got to be able to prove that the wreck was intentional. You got to be able to prove he meant to do it. Well, when the spotter goes,
wreck him,
and then you wreck him, yeah, it makes it easy to prove intent.
But see, wreck him is a phrase, man. It doesn't mean actually wreck him. Wreck him as in win. I mean, you know.
Yeah, as opposed to going,
go win the race.
Well, wreck'em's easier to say than all that.
Win. Win. Hey, boss, it's Austin Dillon down here on the three call. What do you suggest I do coming out of turn three? Win. All right, boss, you got it. Going for the win.
Not everyone talks like you, Rob.
Achieve victory in this sporting competition.
See, that's too long.
Yeah, that's exactly what you would say if you're. That's why you could not be the spotter.
Item number two on the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet. Money Mike's back, baby! First inning, Money Mike Harris stepped to the dish for the first time in a long time for the Atlanta Braves. Coming off of the injured list, and what'd he do? No big deal. Just went granny. Hit a monster dong yesterday, did Michael Harris the second. A grand slam. in the first inning, scored four of the Bravos' first five runs, and it was all Atlanta after that, a 13-2 win over the San Francisco Giants yesterday. Grant Holmes got the win. Seven innings pitch, gave up eight hits, but only two runs. Cade six through those seven innings. Did surrender one dinger in the game, but that was it. Atlanta reels off their third consecutive road win in San Francisco over the G-Men. The first two, both extra innings contests last night. Nope, they just went ahead and beat the G-Men. They are now set up to take a four-game series sweep against San Francisco today at 3:45 when they play the series finale. The win moves Atlanta to 64-56. They are now six games back of the division lead held currently by the Philadelphia Phillies. But maybe more importantly, they have given themselves a little bit of breathing room between they and the New York Mets, who are 62-58, now two games back of Atlanta for the final wild card spot. As it stands right now in said wild card standings, the Atlanta Braves hurled the third and final wild card position. As mentioned, they are two games up on the Mets, and courtesy of three straight wins, now 4.5 games up on the San Francisco Giants for that last wild card spot. The bad news for Atlanta, they are four games back of the top two teams in the National League wild card race, the Arizona Diamondbacks and the San Diego Padres, both of which are 69-53 right now. So the Braves are in a position to make a run to the playoffs right now. That is the good news. If the playoffs ended today, the Bravos would take on the divisional winner that does not get a bye today. That would be the Milwaukee Brewers. In a set, they would have to go to Milwaukee to start up. Honestly, there's worse positions the Braves could be in. Now, they would likely get, right now, the LA Dodgers in round number two, as they are one game up on the Phillies for the National League one spot. But hey, we'll burn that bridge when we get there. The Bravos, as James just said, like the Undertaker kicking out and rising up after every F5. Good reference from James there on the Facebook stream, which you should join us, facebook.com/TheFanUpstate, The Fan Upstate on YouTube, The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Join the stream. Come in, chat. Let's have a good time, shall we? Also, let's get to item number three. A trio of NFL stories that we shall burn through make up item number three. We begin with what we ended with yesterday on the show, J.J. McCarthy. Well, it went from hopefully he just has a minor meniscus injury to J.J. McCarthy's 2024 rookie season is over before it officially began. The Minnesota Vikings rookie quarterback sidelined until 2025 after undergoing surgery yesterday to repair a torn meniscus in his right knee. That according to HCKOC Kevin O'Connell. The news was shortly after a bit of optimism that the Vikings had. The Vikings were hoping that J.J. McCarthy, who, is it fair to say, so maybe was the most impressive rookie in week one. Not the best, but the most impressive based on what we expected to see.
Definitely not what I thought would happen with him. So, yeah, you're right.
He had the pick, and we all went, here we go. And then he started dropping dimes on dudes for the rest of his performance. I think of all of the rookie quarterbacks in week one of the preseason, I think J.J. McCarthy arguably had the best showing. Not the best showing in terms of what he did, but the best showing in terms of what he did relative to what we expected him to do. He is done for the year. Sam Darnold will get the start for the Vikings as QB1. Story number two, Brandon Ayuk, still with the San Francisco 49ers. And as I, by the way, because I know ball, correctly predicted and projected, this was a slow burn. This was a slow burn. And by the way, expertly played by Brandon Ayuk. Ayuk knew what he was doing. Ayuk said, hey, yo, Ayuk is on fire. You can't win without me. And the window for you to make a run to the Super Bowl wall is closing rapidly. Brock Purdy ain't the reason that you were in the Super Bowl last year. Me, Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, and Deebo Samuels were the reason that you were in the Super Bowl last year. The window is closing on you very, very rapidly, and you couldn't get by Patrick Mahomes with me. You certainly can't get by playoff Pat without me. You better pay me, Jack, and now it looks like the 49ers are going to. And finally, in a discussion that we will have coming up very briefly here on the show, the Atlanta Falcons. Y'all absolutely moaned. I would even say, duh. Because they went and got Michael Penix Jr. and didn't improve their defensive stock. Well, they did now. Matthew Judon, excellent pass rusher, did miss last year with a torn biceps. The year before that, no big deal, 15 and a half sacks, set a career high, is now an Atlanta Falcon, and they got him for a third round pick. That's about as good as you can ask for. Does have to get a contract together as he approaches the final year of a four-year $54 million contract, due $6.5 million salary this season. He sought an extension from the Patriots. The Patriots said, nah, bro, we good. We all right. They send him to Atlanta for a third-round pick just like that. Falcons fans rejoice, ATL. That defensive improvement you said you wanted to see? Your defense just improved as Matthew Judon heads to the ATL in return for a third-round pick. We're going to get to all of those NFL stories and the rest of yesterday's move when we come back. I was going to say tomorrow. We will. But first, we got to come back the next segment of the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. It sure is, not just the award-winning, the three-time South Carolina Broadcasters Association Sports Talk Radio Show of the Year awards-winning. The Rob Brown Show is live on the Fan Upstate. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. Wonderful to have you all as members of the Rob Brown Show Armada this beautiful Upstate Thursday morning. Yesterday, in the early portion of the show, we had a conversation about this dealio in the world of NASCAR. And I do think that it applies to a number of other, really all the other sports, if we're being honest, like really all the other sports. And the discussion was about how and if Austin Dillon should be penalized for what he did in the final lap of the Cookout 400 this past Sunday evening in Richmond, Virginia. I explained it for you in the water cooler cheat sheet. I'll lay it out. A very quick nuts and bolts left on the track version of the story is this. Austin Dillon going into the last round of pits looked like he was going to win the race. There was a caution. He ended up dropping back to second place behind Joey Logano. On the final lap, Austin Dillon, trying to get by Joey Logano, wrecked Joey Logano. Then, when he wrecked Joey Logano, who spun around on the track, Joey Logano spun in front of Austin Dillon. Austin Dillon had to slow up. It allowed Denny Hamlin to dive down to the bottom line, get underneath him, take the lead, heading into the backstretch to win the Cookout 400. So Austin Dillon then wrecked out him, took Denny Hamlin out, put him into the wall, and ended up winning the race. There were a lot of folks who were quite upset after the race at Stone Cold Steve Austin Dillon, because Austin 316 says, I just spun your ass. I really like that tag, by the way. That was a brilliant piece of PR from Lonzo yesterday. So a lot of folks were really mad. Joey Logano said that the move to win was chicken and that he should be punished for it. And yesterday on the show, we said, hey, look, let's take a breather here, shall we? Let's take a breather and really think about this just a little bit. I said yesterday on the show, I don't know how it is that you can punish Austin Dillon. I don't know how it is that you can punish Austin Dillon because I don't think you can prove intent. No, I'm not an attorney, nor did I stay in a Holiday Inn Express last night, but I am related to one, and he and I have had this conversation before. For many crimes, You must be able to prove intent. If you can't prove intent, you can't prove guilt. And that is kind of, although sports are not the legal system and vice versa, that is kind of how I felt about this. I'm like, do I think he did it on purpose? You're damn right I do. It's pretty obvious to anybody with functioning eyeballs that it was pretty obvious that those were intentional wrecks. But can I prove that they were intentional? Can I prove that he did it on purpose? I also, being intellectually honest, had to say, no, I really can't. I cannot prove that Austin Dillon did it on purpose. Do I think he did? Yes. 1,000%. I think that Austin Dillon wrecked those two cars on purpose. But I can't prove it. And at the end of the day, I can't punish what I can't prove. Elliot Sawyer is NASCAR's senior vice president of competition, and he said, yeah, we're going to take a look at it, all right? Can't promise anything. We're going to take a look at it. We're going to see if we can figure something out here. And so they did. And they looked at the video from every camera in the building, and they listened to the audio. And then they punished Austin Dillon. How did they punish Austin Dillon? They punished Austin Dillon by taking away his playoff berth. Remember, it's a win and end format in NASCAR. You win a race in the regular season, you make it into the postseason. And they said, yep, you win the race. Congrats. You get to keep the trophy, which in the Cookout 400, I believe, is a Cookout chocolate peanut butter banana milkshake, which is goat tier milkshake, by the way.
Sounds really good.
You ever had a Cookout shake?
I've been to Cookout, but I don't recall having a shake there, no.
They're good, dude. They got that, like, that good thick shake, but not so thick that it's not milkshakey, you know? A lot of places go for the thick shake, and you're like, you just gave me a cup of ice cream here.
So it doesn't take you an hour to drink it?
Correct.
Okay, all right.
Like, it's a good, it's not, you know, because the worst thing is when you ask for a milkshake and you get like that real melted, like more cream than shake.
Flavored,
you know?
Milk, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, nobody likes that. Cookout, this is a free endorsement, by the way. Cookout's got that shake that's thick enough that you're drinking a good quality milkshake, but not so thick that you're like, I need a spoon. I don't want a spoon from a milkshake, all right? I want it to be a good shake, and Cookout's got it. I believe by winning the Cookout 400, you get a large Cookout shake of your choosing. They also have like 41 flavors that you can combine however you wish. It's pretty spectacular. Anyway.
So don't take your wife or girlfriend there because it might take, you know.
Oh God, if they're indecisive, you're going to be there for an hour.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? The fiance, she knows. She's got two shakes. She rotates between the two. We didn't hit the Cookout, no worries. First time we went, she's like, I don't know what I want. We were in the drive-thru for 7 hours. I'm exaggerating. That's not true, but you get the point.
Probably felt like it, though.
So, here's why this conversation, I think, applies to other sports. You all know, as does the great one Lonzo, as he has entered very funny music for when I bring it up on the show, that Rob Brown is absolutely team robo-ump. I think we should have done gone to robo-umps like a hot minute ago. We have unlimited technology at our fingertips, right? I've got a camera on this phone, right, Sean? The Google Pixel, by the way, fully endorsed by Rob Brown. I got a camera on this phone that I can point and I can tell it I wanna film in slow motion. And I can do it. It's actually helped me with my terrible golf swing. Because what I can do is I can film the golf swing and then I can set the start and end point for the slow-mo and I can watch my swing back in like 1/32nd speed. So I can see when I'm coming down, am I coming over the top? Am I rotating my wrist too much and opening up the club face? Is that why I shanked it two neighborhoods away? It's helped dramatically. We have incredible technology at our fingertips, and yet we rely on C.B. Buckner to get the calls right. C.B. Buckner, who, by the way, in the third loss to the Milwaukee Brewers, made 22 incorrect calls and like 17 of them went against the Atlanta Braves. Okay? I'm just saying, sometimes it helps. Anyway, we have all this tech. And so yesterday when we were having this conversation about the Stone Cold Steve Austin Dillon penalty, somebody texted the show and they said, wait a minute, wait a minute, Rob. You're the guy who wants robo umps so that every call is either X or Y. It is either foul, no foul, offsides, not offsides, strike, ball, out, safe, whatever. Why is it now that you are saying you can't punish this guy? You can't punish this guy. You can't hammer this guy when he very clearly did the thing. And the answer is, intent. The answer is because what Austin Dillon did, you can't prove violated anything because it's only a violation if he did it on purpose. And you can't prove that he did it on purpose. A strike is a strike whether the pitcher meant to throw it or not. A ball is fair or foul no matter what mood the umpire woke up in that day. A guy is out or safe regardless of if the first baseman's in a fight with his wife or not. All right? Those things are not subjective or based on mood or emotion. Whether or not Austin Dillon wrecked those guys on purpose, you can't prove it. Therefore, it is by definition subjective. So they punished this cat. Why? If it was subjective and if it was up to subjective reasoning, whether or not it was on purpose, why didn't NASCAR punish him? Very simple. Because they found audio of his spotter going,
wreck him.
The spotter told him wreck the guy, and then he wrecked the guy. That is at least close enough to prove intent. That is at least close enough to say it is now fundamentally believable and beyond reasonable doubt, not that you need it because these are sports, not the justice system, but it is now a subjectively believable reality that these accidents were on purpose. So I'm good with the punishment. I wasn't yesterday. Yesterday I said, I don't think you can punish the guy. I don't think you can take away what is likely his ticket to the postseason because unless he wins the next three races, he's likely not going to the playoff, right? He's got to win one of the next three races, or he's likely not going to the playoffs. And if he's not going to the playoffs, he can't be the NASCAR stock car champion for this season. I don't think you can take that ticket away from him based on your belief that you can't prove that he violated any rules. But when his spotter says, wreck him, and then he wrecks him, it's no longer subjective anymore. Now, it is objective. Someone with authority said, wreck that guy, he wrecked that guy. I can now say comfortably, yeah, he definitely did it on purpose. He definitely, it is obvious now that he did it on purpose. And if that is indeed the case, the punishment is fine. This has no impact on my standing on robo-umps. Because all the other things that we have talked about robo-umps covering, that is where the ball is when the player is down. Whether or not the ball beat the runner to first base, whether or not the ball crossed the strike zone. These are all objective things. These are all objective. These are all things that either they did or they did not happen. There's no subjectivity required out of them. So when I say I'm team robo-ump, please know from now on what I mean is I am team robo-ump when it comes to calls that are objectively X or Y. Not subjectively. Whether or not Austin Dillon, until we heard the audio of the wrecker, of the spotter going,
wreck him.
Until we heard that audio, whether or not Stone Cold Steve Austin Dillon wrecked out Logano and Hamlin was a subjective viewpoint. We all know he did it on purpose, but none of us could prove it. Now we can prove it. Now we can prove it. And that's why he caught that smoke from NASCAR. That is why he has now got his back against the wall. Must-win scenario for Austin Dillon in the last three races of the season. When I say Team RoboWump, please know I am talking about objectively verifiable calls. This thing either did or did not happen. It is a ball or a strike. It is safe out. It is foul or fair. It is where the ball is when the running back or the wide receiver or whatever, when the ball carrier is down. We can verify these things, and they are objectively true. And to me, that's what we should be doubting them. That's what we should be working on fixing. And NASCAR, just as far as I am concerned, NASCAR just made that even more obvious in my ever so humble opinion. You know what else is objectively true? What is objectively true is that Rashad Beard will be here in just over 40 minutes. Hayton Ask Mario will be here just over an hour. Fight Club just over an hour, 20 minutes away. And Lonzo's good at sports flashing you.
I have to say I was great at it. I mean, you know, New York Yankees outfielder Aaron Judge became the fastest Major League Baseball player in history to reach the 300 career home run list when he hit one to the left for his 43rd home run of the season in a 10-2 Yankees victory. Back down to good, maybe bad. Over the White Sox, Judge is the 162nd player to reach 300 and ranks 13th amongst active players. The Atlanta Braves won their third straight over the San Francisco Giants with a 13-2 victory last night. The Braves had 11 hits, including four home runs, one of which was a grand slam from Michael Harris in his first game back from the injured list. Make sure you tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for a brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, whole lot of fun, and it's all Wire to Wire.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.